This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Dave. Jam-packed 9 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the 2025 report card on infrastructure for Louisiana. Louisiana got a D+. The last one was released in 2017. We'll see if things are going to be any better this time. We're going to talk with Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about the passengers in the car that killed and hit that St. Tammany police officer, also being charged with first-degree murder. We'll break all of that down. And we're going to talk about the security breach with the text messages with a gentleman who's been on with us before from the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy, Javad Ali. And it was interesting to see the response. Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, denying it when they had already confirmed that it was, in fact, confidential information or security information or attack plans. The president saying that he didn't like Atlantic Magazine and he thought they were going to be out of business. And it just seems to me the easiest thing in the world would be to say, we made a mistake, we're going to tighten it up, or we're not going to do that again. But and also to attack the journalists that received the message inadvertently. You know, he was just sitting in a parking lot at the supermarket and got it. So we'll talk about all that. We begin with Tom Smith, executive director of the American Society of Civil Engineers, to talk about this report card. How you doing, Tom? Tom?
Hi, this is Tom Smith. Greetings. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Tommy Tucker from WWL. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. Let's start with, what is the American Society of Civil Engineers, ASCE?
Absolutely. American Society of Civil Engineers is a nonprofit organization of 160,000 members, and we've been around for over 170 years, and we advance the public health and safety and welfare by advancing civil engineering, and one of the things we do is build civilization and focus on infrastructure. So we do a report card on America's infrastructure, which I know is the subject of our discussion this morning.
Yeah, build civilization. I love the way you said that, and that's why I admire engineers, because especially civil engineers, well, I shouldn't say that, but nothing just happens, right? There has to be a lot of planning, and the same numbers that were used to build a bridge back in, I guess, the Egyptian times are the same numbers that are used today, right? Except maybe computed a little bit differently.
Yeah, we've come a long way since then, absolutely. But we have, we have a lot of infrastructure now that unfortunately is been designed and built by a prior generation. And so we have failed to operate and maintain it at the level that we need to. And that's one of the things that we do with our report card on America's infrastructure. For the last over 20 years, we've been evaluating the performance of our infrastructure to make sure that the public and lawmakers understand what is the condition, what is the capacity, what kind of future needs do we have, is it resilient, is it safe, is it innovative, and you know, what kind of operation and maintenance needs we have.
So I got a lot of questions. First of all, let's go back to the report card for America's infrastructure. What are you looking at specifically? How are you measuring? How are you choosing what to look at? Is it based on age? Do you have a list? Take me through that.
Sure. Yeah, we have a team of over 50 people that are professional engineers and infrastructure experts that evaluate data. We look at 18 different categories of infrastructure. So, you know, it's obviously the things you initially think about, like roads and bridges, but it's aviation, it's broadband, it's drinking water, hazardous waste, inland waterways. You know, it ranges all the way up to schools and stormwater and transit. And so all these are things that, you know, we rely on for our quality of life and that are the foundation for our economy and make us globally competitive as a nation. So we look at each of those categories. We look at quite a bit of data. And then we have a methodology where we analyze it according to different criteria. So we're looking at what is its capacity, what kind of condition is it in, what are the funding levels associated with it, what is the future need, the operation and maintenance, public safety, resilience, and innovation. So we've been doing that with these criteria. We pour over a lot of data. We're engineers, so you know we love to look at data and analyze how it's performing and making sure that it's ready for the future. And so we've been doing this. So we first started doing it in 1998. And most recently are issuing our 2025 report card today.
Is this primarily about, I'm trying to think if it's about age or if it's about maintenance or if it's about improved materials or techniques that have happened since then or a little bit of each?
Yeah, it's a little bit of each. You know, when you talk about age, I mean, Listen, some infrastructure can perform. We've got, you know, you can find bridges that are, you know, multiple hundreds of years old. As long as you maintain it at the right level, you know, the age is not necessarily a factor. And, of course, now we're designing our infrastructure oftentimes to be 75 or 100 years out. So we're trying to anticipate, you know, what kind of weather and climate conditions, you know, 100 years from now for our infrastructure's performance. So, yes, it's we're looking at all of those things, safety. We're looking at the funding levels. We're looking what do we anticipate for the future. We're looking at operation and maintenance capacity. You know, oftentimes you'll find a bridge that was designed, you know, 50, 75 years ago, and its capacity now, it was designed for a capacity that might be half or less of what it's carrying today. So there's a lot of things that we're evaluating to make sure that our infrastructure is in satisfactory condition.
Just on a very micro level, and we're talking with Tom Smith, Executive Director of the American Society of Civil Engineers, ASCE. I'm sure you've seen that acronym somewhere. But on a micro level, as a homeowner, you tend to think that, and as a younger guy, I thought, okay, that's it. Scratch it off the list. It's done. No, it's not done. It constantly has to be maintained. And I think we as a people and sometimes as a nation don't realize that just because you build a bridge or just because you built a highway, that's not it. That it's not going to last forever, and you do have to maintain it. Do we have a problem with the mindset in this country, Tom?
Yeah, that's. I think you have a great example right there. You know, we cut a ribbon and feel like, okay, now it's done, and that's really just the beginning. A lot of the real costs are the operation and maintenance over many, many years, and whether it's a car or a house, as you referenced, or the human body. You've got to make sure that you are maintaining it. You don't want to have to go out and pay for it twice. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you fail, as an example with your, you know, a car or our home, if you don't maintain it, you're going to end up paying a lot more on the back end. And studies have shown that. We have, in terms of infrastructure, every dollar you invest today, it's going to save you up to $13 on the back end. So if we're proactive instead of reactive, we're actually going to save taxpayers far more money. And so we won't pay this hidden tax of poorly functioning, inefficient infrastructure.
You know, as I said that, I was in the automotive repair industry for a while I attended the University of Life, as I call it. And that's a tough business because nobody really wants to spend the money. They're no better off than they were perceptually than they were before whatever broke, right? So it's a miserable
exactly.
business to be in. Nobody's happy. And I suddenly realize as we talk here, that's kind of the same thing that's going on with asking the taxpayers for money to maintain this or that or the other thing, and they think, well, wait, why? We got a bridge. What do we need more money for? But you're about to tell us. Tell me about the grades the nation received and what areas need the most improvement.
Absolutely. So overall, the nation received a grade of C. So, you know, that's not something you'd be particularly proud to bring home on a report card. That's, you know, average. That's mediocre. It requires attention. You know, we know that leaves room for improvement. On the plus side, that is an improvement over the 2021 report card, which was a C minus. And I will tell you also that the 2021 report card was an improvement over the 2017 report card, which was a D plus. So in 2021, that was the first time we got out of the D range. So D meaning poor or at risk. So we're now in the C range, and that's good. And that's reflective of some investments that have been made in our infrastructure. You know, we've got the bipartisan infrastructure law, the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS and Science Act. Those things have provided federal investment that have been leveraged with state and local investment and private investment. So we're seeing, you know, investment in our infrastructure that is paying off. And these are incremental improvements. You know, that's taking us to a C. Obviously, we would love to be up at least at the B range, if not beyond. But, you know, this is something that we can celebrate as good progress. But I will say on the downside that of those 18 categories, you know, 9 of those are still in the D range. So that means poor at risk. So we certainly have room for improvement.
When it comes to categories, what are the areas that are more neglected than others?
Well, the lowest grades in the report card right now are stormwater and transit. And obviously, those are both important areas. Stormwater, of course, as we're seeing, you know, more extreme weather events, flooding events. That has certainly, you know about stormwater in New Orleans and of course, throughout the country. So those are particularly areas of concern, and that's a level D. So we have more, you know, impaired rivers, streams, you know, have gone from 424,000 miles impaired streams in 2010. That's gone up to over 700,000 miles in 2022. So that is an area that we think certainly needs attention. Transit is another one that's at a D. Now, the good side about transit is it used to be at a D minus. So we actually saw some improvement in transit. But it's got, you know, years of deferred maintenance. Again, like you were describing with cars, we have that same issue with transit and other elements of infrastructure.
Tell me about a new category for the 2025 report card.
Yeah, the new category was broadband. That got a grade of a C+, so it's a little bit better than the average grade for all of our other infrastructure. There are certainly areas on broadband that are, again, leave room for improvement. But this is the first time we've really been able to have a grade in that area, because initially we had concerns about even having the amount of data that we needed to give it a grade. So we were able to give it a grade this year. We were pleased about that. So we're going to be able to track our progress on broadband in the future. But, you know, we still have 10% of our households without, you know, a broadband subscription.
Yeah, I was going to say that speaks volumes to what you're talking about here, because you're talking about upgrading or maintaining broadband, and there are areas that still don't have it. So while some people think, well, that's it, that's behind us, it's not, because it constantly has to be maintained. Accurate?
Exactly. Yep. It's just like everything. It's got
everything
to be maintained.
Else, yep.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we cut a ribbon and it's all of a sudden after that, it's some of it also, by the way, is out of sight, out of mind, and it has to be operated and maintained at a high level, and that does require consistent and sustained investment. And we also have to really be thinking about, you know, the future, you know, where the puck is going and not just where it has been in the past. And a lot of our infrastructure was designed by a prior generation. It's 50, 75, even 100 years old or more. And so we've got to be sure to maintain it. And also, you know, sometimes we do have infrastructure that needs to be replaced.
I don't know how you sleep at night, because, you know, as a homeowner that has done some repairs, once you open the walls up and you get involved with what can break back there or what can go wrong, it's hard to just see a house. You see what's behind the walls and you worry about what can break or what could go wrong. How do you live your life? You got to be looking at everything around you like that, huh, Tom?
Well, that's true. I mean, that's why the inspections are important in maintaining data, sensors, and we do analyze, you know, a lot of data as we're looking at our infrastructure, but also inspecting it on a regular basis. So it's something that has got to constantly be maintained. We need to make sure that we're continuing to draw attention to it, both with the public and with lawmakers. Again, when we fail to invest in infrastructure, we pay more on the back end. Every American family, you know, if we don't maintain the infrastructure that we have, we'll pay an additional $700, you know, if we don't maintain the bipartisan infrastructure law funding levels. Even with those funding levels, we actually compute a $2,000 hidden tax that we pay by failing to, you know, maintain the infrastructure at the level that we need to. Believe it or not, the number that is required to maintain it is about $3.7 trillion. The gap, that's the investment gap over the next 10 years. The good news is that that is money that comes from not just the federal government, but also from state and local and private sector. So it requires all hands on deck in a lot of different areas to maintain our infrastructure. We do know that when it disappears on us, when you don't have clean drinking water, when your transportation networks are shut down, or when you don't have energy, as we've seen in various places around the country where things have happened, we really appreciate infrastructure at that time. And what we want to make sure is that we don't have to do that on the back end, that we're proactive and not reactive.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your time and your efforts. Tom Smith, Executive Director, American Society of Civil Engineers. We'll talk to Dane Cialino when we come back about the murder of that North Shore police officer at 923.